Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online right now, and we'll be glad to address your question or offer direction for the difficult, frustrating issues of real life. Call now, 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC. The full number, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob, and Happy New Year to everyone, to all of our listeners out there in Basic Gospel Nation.
Indeed.
We're so excited about what God is going to be doing through this broadcast and all the lives that we're going to be able to connect with. We just love being a part of people's lives. We love for
Absolutely.
Them to be a part of ours. And so we're excited about what Jesus Christ, who is alive and living within us, is going to do in 2015.
Yeah.
And I know as we always enter a new year, it's wonderful to kind of go back to some of the key foundational verses that really give rise to what we're doing as a ministry.
Uh-huh.
And I think the signature verse for Basic Gospel is really 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. We also rely heavily on what Paul had to say in 1 Corinthians 15 about the gospel. He said, I pass on the things that are of first importance, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ,
yeah.
and the ascension of Jesus Christ. Those four acts make up the good news. Those four acts make up all of the benefits or lead to the benefits that we receive when we come to Christ by faith. And one of those benefits is this new covenant. And Paul writes about that in 2 Corinthians 6. And he says this, he has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So the Apostle Paul was he was a Mosaic covenant guy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was one of the leaders, the stars on the horizon for Judaism.
Right.
I mean, he represented everything as far as the Jewish way of life is concerned. So much so that when a threat came, man, he bowed up and he was ready to defend.
Yeah.
He persecuted Christians.
Right.
And he was out to rid the world of this new way, this new sect,
mm-hmm.
and to eliminate all memory of Jesus Christ. And then he met Jesus on the road, and everything
and that changed.
Everything changed. And what changed most of all is his purpose in life. He became a minister of this new covenant that Jesus Christ ushered in through his shed blood
right.
on the cross. Just an amazing transformation. I mean, it's truly a genuine, authentic 180.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was going in one direction as fast and as zealous as he could, and all of that changed. Jesus stopped him dead in his tracks, turned him around, and moved him in a whole new direction. What is that new direction? It's this new covenant. Well, what's unique about the new covenant? Well, it's not like the letter. Why? Because the letter kills. That old Mosaic covenant was a ministry of death, a ministry of condemnation, a ministry of judgment. That's the language of the old covenant, and all of us have heard that language very loudly
yeah.
In our lives as we have tried to live up to the righteous standards of God. When we do, we keep hearing back, you can't do it. You're judged. You're condemned. God's mad at you.
Mm-hmm.
All of those things. So that letter, the Mosaic covenant, was death spiritually for each and every one of us. But here's the big contrast. The Spirit gives life. What is this new covenant all about? It's about new life in Jesus Christ. Just as he was raised from the dead spiritually, he raises us from the dead spiritually. Jesus was raised physically, but in the same manner, he raises us spiritually, makes us alive together with him, and we experience brand new life in Jesus Christ.
Right.
That's what this new covenant is all about. That's what motivated Paul like nothing else. I get to go out and share with people about this new life that's available in Jesus. He was raised from the dead, and because he was raised from the dead, he's offering his life to anyone who will receive. Talk about good news. And that same good news is on the table today.
Right.
God's Spirit is taking that message out all around the world, and receptive hearts are responding or being made alive in Christ. Those who have already been made alive in Christ, every day they're learning more and more about this new life in Jesus. It doesn't get any better than this. If you're looking for something to really satisfy the depths of your soul, if you're looking for something that's going to be a game changer in your life, that your ship is going to come in, you don't need to look any further than Jesus. Jesus is the one that will satisfy your soul. Why? Because he's the one that will bring life to your very soul. That's what this new covenant is all about.
That's good stuff, and that's Basic Gospel, everybody. Glad you could join us for this this edition. Bob Christopher is here, Richard Piper here. My name is Bob Davis, and we have open lines for you right now at 844-32-BASIC. The lines are wide open, all the time remaining on the clock. Plenty of opportunity to address your question and take you into the Word of God for the answer and or the solution in the person of Jesus Christ. Again, 844-32-BASIC or 844-322-2742. Call now. Guys, a question from Kurt, who wrote to us to ask, is the Sermon on the Mount and its commandments part of the old covenant that we are free from?
It's a good question, and that's one of those questions that really gets people on the edge of their chairs, and, you know, what is the answer to this? And as you look at it, Richard, what was Jesus intending by this great sermon? Was this a sermon to teach us how to live? Was it a sermon that would bring us to the end of ourselves so that we could receive this new life that he has made available through his death, burial, and resurrection? What in the world was Jesus talking about in this sermon that everybody knows about, but I think very few people actually really know about?
Well, I think this sermon is probably the single greatest exposition of the Old Covenant in the Bible. This is Jesus explaining to his listeners what it means, not just what it says, but what it means. It's not just about actions. It's about our inner selves, our thought lives, our attitudes, who we really are. And so he designed it to bring us to the end of ourselves, but he didn't just leave us there with no hope. You know, you're all doomed. You might as well just, you know, kiss it all goodbye. He is in this pointing to himself as the fulfillment of everything. You know, quit trying so hard to do what you can't do. Let me do it. Come to me. And if you read it in that context, it's not nearly so scary. I used to take the Sermon on the Mount very, very seriously. And you know, I had the same experience seriously there that I had with the Ten Commandments. I failed every time.
Yeah. There's somebody, I think it was C.S. Lewis, but it may be somebody else that said, if you think the Ten Commandments were hard, try putting on the Sermon on the Mount.
Yeah.
I mean,
really.
if you're trying to live out the Sermon on the Mount through human effort, you know, bootstrapping yourself up the rungs of the ladder, man, it's going to kill you. It is going to put you flat on your back with no hope whatsoever. You just can't do it. So the sermon starts with, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. How do you become poor in spirit? Well, we're very prideful. We're full of spiritual arrogance and we think we've got what it takes to become, you know, God's guy or God's gal. We really do. Yeah. That's not poor in spirit. That's self-righteous arrogance. And how do we get humbled where we come to the point that we're really poor in spirit? Well, I think Jesus kind of shows us that. He says, well, if you've heard, don't commit adultery, but I say, if you have lust in your heart, you've already committed adultery. Yeah. That will humble you. That will bring you to the point to see that you truly are poor in spirit, and it's there that you're going to be blessed, that you're going to kind of reach the end that God has for us, and that's new life in Christ. Christianity is not a self-improvement program. Christianity is new life altogether. And I think the Sermon on the Mount helps us realize that probably more than any other particular passage in the Word of God.
Yeah, absolutely. Kurt, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. Plenty of open lines right now, as I've said, 844-32-BASIC, 844-32-BASIC, or jot down the full number, 844-322-2742. The lines are wide open right now, and we're on the air live so that you can be a part of the broadcast and pose your question or your particular life issue. So give us a call, 844-322-2742. Guys, you know, during the holiday season, we talked about it over and over again about the issue of depression that comes along a lot of people over the days following the holidays. And what would you do? What do you think when a person goes into depression, particularly one who does not know the Lord? What do you think is the first step toward moving toward freedom from the mental anguish of depression that many people experience right after the holiday season?
I think the first step is to find some hope. Depression is a hopeless state. At least that's what it feels like. It's a very dark state. It seems like there's no way out. And that can lead to a point of despair. It really, really can. So with any situation like that, with any emotional pain that's as deep as depression is, and depression can also have physical...
Yes.
Implications to us.
Right, yeah.
Yes. I mean, our body chemistry gets all out of whack, and that just affects everything. So we need some hope. That's first step. And where are we going to find hope? There's no hope out in the world. There's no hope that a pill can get us. A pill can offer some temporary relief, but we're looking for permanent stuff, and permanent stuff comes from Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
So I think the first step is to ask the question, does God really care about me right now? Mm-hmm. Is he really interested in where I am? Can he speak into my situation? And the fact that Jesus Christ is alive, that's the good news of the gospel, is that ray of hope.
Yeah.
He can speak into our situation. The God of this universe has condescended himself, has become like one of us. He knows what our pain is. He knows what we're going through. And now he's seated at the right hand of God the Father. Mm-hmm. And he sends his Spirit to take up residence in us. That's where we need to start.
Yeah.
Finding out if God really cares, if he's really interested. And he's demonstrated that through this great gospel message, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ.
Yeah.
So that's where we start, mm-hmm. and then we just let the Word of God keep doing its work inside of us. You know, Richard, all of us, and Bob, think about kind of a magic wand. We're such a microwave society.
Yeah.
We're looking for instant gratification, instant change, instant transformation. That just doesn't happen. We get ourselves into messes, and it takes a long time for us to get there. And we have to realize it's going to take some time to get ourselves out. So if we will basically commit to the process, mm-hmm. and how do we define that process? It's hearing, believing, and living.
Right.
It's making sure we know what the gospel message is, hearing it with spiritual ears wide open, and then asking ourselves, do we truly believe this? If Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, what does that mean to us? And then living that out. So if we will allow that process to just carry us along, in time we're going to see incredible change and transformation in our experience.
Absolutely. Well, Bob, I know that we have materials that could minister in the lives of people who are experiencing depression, and we encourage you to go online to basicgospel.net, click the store link, and look around. You'll find materials to aid you in overcoming this issue through the person of Jesus Christ.
Well, let's go to our phone lines. We're going to start today in Brooklyn and talk with Eugene, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Eugene.
Hey, good afternoon, my brothers in Christ. How are you brothers doing today?
We're doing fantastic. Nice to hear from you.
Happy New Year to you, brothers. I just wanted to speak on the Sermon of the Mount. My interpretation of that is the beginning of grace, like Jesus explaining how grace was needed. And he went into the Hebrew scriptures to show them, to show the Jewish people that this self-righteousness that they thought that they had, they still could not obtain it. You know, and he expounded on the scriptures just like with adultery. Like, even if you look at a person with that thought in your head, that is adultery. You know, so I think that he was showing them through the scriptures that his death was needed for them. They could not get this righteousness on their own. They needed it only through him. So I just believe that this was like the introduction of grace going through the scriptures for Jewish people. And not only we benefit from that too.
Well, you know? I think I like to say that Jesus is making the case for grace. You know, we need to know our need. You know, where am I? What's my real condition? Most of us, I can't tell you the number of people that just go in for a routine checkup. They feel good. They're energetic. Everything is going well, and they go in for a routine checkup, and they find out that they are really, really sick individuals. There's been some disease growing and festering inside, and they just haven't been aware of it. Well, that's how all of us are spiritually. We may be okay on the outside. We feel okay. We feel, you know, that life is okay for us. But then we go in for a routine spiritual checkup, and that's what the Sermon on the Mount is, and we see something different. Yeah. There's something deeply wrong with us. And so Jesus in this sermon really makes the case for grace. There's only one way to be saved. It is by grace through faith. And if you want proof of that, read the Sermon on the Mount and see how well you do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Amen. Amen. I just wanted to say, I don't understand why, like, the people of the day when Jesus was walking on earth and he was telling, expounding on this stuff on the Sermon on the Mount, what, didn't they read the scriptures with the prophets like Amos when God was speaking and telling them that they did not obtain this self-righteousness? And a lot of the things that they were doing, he was going to send them into captivity. So what was the difference from then to the time when Jesus was walking on the earth? They had the scriptures, so they knew what God did say already.
Well, Eugene, I think from a Jewish perspective, they believed that they were already the people of God, that they had been chosen by God. So on an individual basis, they weren't looking for individual salvation. They were looking for a Messiah that would be a king, that would take Israel from its lowly state and raise it up to the preeminent nation in this world. And at that point, then Israel would become a blessing to all other nations. That's how they read the Old Testament prophets. That's why Jesus was such an enigma to them. They just couldn't get what he was all about, especially the lowliness of how he came into the world, how he handled himself. They just didn't get it. So they rejected Jesus as Messiah on that basis.
So you're saying they more were looking for his second coming. They were anticipating for his second coming, and they rejected him because they thought that he should have came, like what the scriptures say, when he comes the second time.
Yes, they were hoping Jesus would punch Caesar right in the face and get rid of the Roman Empire and establish Israel as the world empire. That's what they were looking for. So you're right. They were looking for Jesus' second coming, not his first.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much. You brothers have a blessed day. Thank you.
Hey,
and when
man,
God opens
you.
Up a way for me, I'm going to send money to support you. Once God opens up a way, that's in my heart to do.
Well, Eugene, we sure appreciate that, my friend.
Yeah.
And we'll just trust the Lord to take care of your needs, and we're just grateful you're a part of our lives. So thank you.
Yes, indeed. We're going to go talk to Joyce in just a moment, but we do want to say that we're very, very thankful for and to the many of you who stepped up to support this ministry as 2014 drew to a close, and all of those who contributed through the year. It's only because of you that we're able to be on the air each day, allowing others to hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. And we have a lot to be grateful for, and what a privilege we have of being ambassadors for Christ. So thank you for helping us expand the Basic Gospel Circle.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to Joyce. Hi, Joyce. You're on the air.
Praise the Lord, my brothers. God bless you, and Happy New Year.
Why, thank you, Joyce, and Happy New Year to you as well.
I have a question. My question is, where do we place our faith? On what object we place our faith? Do we place our faith on the good things we do? As a child of God, I know we ought to do good things because Jesus is our example. Do we put our faith on our prayer, that we pray, that we go to church, that we do the right things? Do we put it on when we fast, that these things is what will bring us the blessing that we are seeking God for? Because as I read the scripture, Jesus say men ought always to pray. So I know we must pray. He also say not when you fast, but not if you fast, but when you fast. So I know all of these things are scripturally correct. But do we put our faith on these things to get the blessing, or do we put it on what Christ has done for us and not what we will be doing, since all our righteousness are filthy rags?
Well, Joyce, you're just bringing the whole crux of Christianity into clear focus. And I think it's one of the most important questions that has ever been asked on the Basic Gospel broadcast. And the object of our faith, according to the Word of God, is Jesus Christ and His finished work through His death, burial, and resurrection.
God bless you, my friends, because you know, to explain some of my sisters and brothers this, that God does not bless us on what we do, the much we pray, how much we fast. He don't look at those things, but He look at what Christ has done for us on the cross of Calvary. And we get all our blessing coming from Him through the cross. Because He said, I have given you all things pertaining to life and godliness through Christ Jesus.
That's exactly right, Joyce.
And I was going to
point
to
two.
I am so happy that you answer me, so that I have no doubt where to keep my faith, because that is where I place my faith, on the object of Christ's finished work, what He done for me, not what I could do, because whatever I do is not perfect.
That's exactly right, Joyce.
But Christ is perfect in what He has done for me.
Absolutely. So well, thank you so much, Joyce. We're almost out of time on today's broadcast.
Yes.
But thank you so much for asking your question today. Two quick verses, 1 Peter 1:21, through Him you believe in God who raised Him from the dead and glorified Him, and so your faith and hope are in God. And then in John, asked the great question, what must we do the works of God? And He answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one He has sent. So our faith is clearly in Jesus Christ and His finished work. Well, Joyce, you hang on. We're going to send you some wonderful things just for your great enthusiasm and your great confidence in Jesus Christ. You hang on.
Wow, what a way to end the broadcast. Wonderful input from this listener named Joyce.
Yes, indeed.
That was really good. Well, thanks for joining us for this edition of Basic Gospel, everybody. We're here every day to address your needs, to take you into the Word of God for the answer and or the solution to your particular issue or your question in the person of Jesus Christ. We'll be back, Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and I, and we hope you'll join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.